welcome to the next episode of our Mental Health and Wellbeing in COVID-19 webinar series 2.0, the reimagined version since lockdown has now headed into 2.0 as well. So if you're joining us for the first time, just to let you in on what's happening and what we're doing, the purpose of this series is to help people with some psychological and emotional tools and resources and techniques to be able to effectively manage some of the psychological collateral that's going to be coming along with this season. You don't have to be infected with coronavirus for this moment to really impact you. And some of the impact is definitely going to be psychological and emotional. So we've been with you for the previous 20, whatever it is nowadays, 23 days or something, and we're with you till the end of the lockdown. My name is Theron Knightenfit, and I am your host. As well, if you're joining us for the first time, just to let you know that MyGrow, who is sponsoring this series, has made available a 21-day, I'm not sure if they've updated it yet, but a free trial to their resource, which is aimed at helping you develop your emotional competencies to deal with this moment, but also all of life. So today we have a guest with us who needs no introduction, so I won't introduce him right now. I'll introduce him in a little while. Okay, in the previous webinar, we chatted a little bit about what we can expect in this version 2.0. It's going to be a little bit shorter. It's going to be just me instead of me and Mark. A couple of different things. And then we spent some time speaking about the EQ skill of flexibility, how important it is to be able to know how we can adapt when situations and circumstances are different to what we expected and when they're out of our control. And then we looked at the work of Susan David, that South African professor from Harvard, who talks about emotional agility. It's her construct, it's her idea, and it's very similar to psychological flexibility. And that key idea that we took away from there was unhooking ourselves from negative narratives that aren't helpful. She gave us a couple of tips. She said we must embrace the moment, we must change our point of view, we must create and sustain habits that are healthy and helpful. And then she said we must laugh. So we didn't spend too much time on that yesterday or in the previous episode, if you're catching the reruns, because we knew we were going to be dealing with that today with our guests. So today, laughter is the best medicine. That's what we're going to be chatting about today. Now, everybody's heard that laughter is the best medicine. Everybody's heard an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But it seems that research really does show that perhaps even if the apple thing might not be true, the laughter thing is true. Laughter has a long history of being understood to have health benefits. From Plato and Aristotle back in the 600 BC to the 18th century philosopher Immanuel Kant, and then further into modern science now, specifically with the field of gelotology, which is the study of the effects of laughter. Now, there are so many beneficial health effects, physical effects of laughter. Things like increasing our respiratory activity and our oxygen exchange, super important if we want to stay alive. Things like the impact and the stimulation it has for our cardiovascular system and our sympathetic nervous system, which you may remember from a previous episode we did when we were chatting about the effects of stress and the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous systems. In one study, they saw that the participants who were in the study, even if their blood pressure rose during humor, during a moment of laughter, post humor or post that moment, their blood pressure dropped lower than their base level before that moment. And of course, low blood pressure is what we want. It's very well documented that laughter is helpful for the immune system. I don't even need to go into too much detail there, but perhaps you remember that movie Patch Adams, Robin Williams movie from, I don't know, 20 years ago. True story of this Dr. Patch Adams, who used to use humor and laughter and dressing up like a clown and all sorts of things in his medical work in the hospital and the impact that that had on patients. But in the last 50 to 100 years, there's been a lot of study around the impact of laughter in psychiatric illness and mental health in general. There's an institution, the Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor. Look at some of these stats. They say that just anticipating a moment of humor, for instance, I don't know, Skulk Bazaar Notes, Lockdown Laughs, online show or something like that, just anticipating that can reduce your stress, decrease your stress by 39%. Just looking forward to that, knowing that that's coming, will reduce your stress. And then after you've finished watching that show, you're going to be twice as productive. Now, of course, the study wasn't done on Skulk's shows, but I'm sure it's true. Twice as productive after a moment of humor, after taking that break for some humor. And then that last stat there, you can see just a 23% increase in memory recall. That laughter seems to stimulate the mind and the brain and the memory in a way that enables you to remember 23% more than you would have if you didn't have that. this association, their definition for therapeutic humor is this. They say, any intervention that promotes health and wellness by stimulating a playful discovery, expression, or appreciation of the absurdity or incongruity of life's situations, aka COVID-19, aka lockdown. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. We've never experienced anything like this before. Now, if you'll remember, yesterday we were chatting on the previous episode, if you're catching the reruns, we were chatting about Susan David, and she talked about laughter and how laughter is a great way to unhook from the negative stories that we believe. Now, there's so many negative stories that are, of course, part and parcel with this whole season that we're in right now. And so what better topic to discuss than laughter and comedy to get us out of that? So that brings us to our interview for today. You may have guessed it, Sculptor Zadanote. If you don't know who he is, then I don't know what's wrong with you. Anyway, recently, at the beginning of the lockdown, the Gauteng government, the MEC for Arts, Sports, Culture, Laughter, and everything, set up a 21-day stay-at-home program, entertainment program, and asked Skulk to be part of it. So Skulk has, for the last, I don't know how long it is now, 23, 24 days, however long it's been, has been doing daily videos on his Insta feed, on his Instagram TV feed, to, you know, just to try and lighten this moment. So who better than Skulk to chat to us about the impact and the benefits of humor. So Skulk, can you hear me? Are you online?
Can you hear me? Can you see me? Can you feel me?
I can see, hear everything but smell and touch you. How are you doing today?
No, like, and you?
Yeah, good. No, definitely good.
Feeling positive, as I say in my videos every morning.
with the hair shake. Dude, I watched a whole bunch, I binged a whole bunch of your videos recently. Well done for everything you're doing. Tell us about this initiative that the Gauteng MEC for Arts and Culture and all that stuff. Tell me about it. What happened to give you the phone call? How did they invite you into it? What's the purpose of it?
Well, I was actually very everything kind of fell into place in a very cool way, because the week before lockdown, actually even before that, when COVID-19 started coming into South Africa and when we started realizing, okay, there's here as well. Because, I mean, up till quite recently, first week of March, I was still at Woordfeest in Stellenbosch performing, you know, crowds together of 300-400 people. So even if at the beginning of March, COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, was still a overseas problem. Yeah. And the situation changed like this, because on the 14th of March, middle of March, I was still doing a live show of my new Afrikaans show, Skulks en Sleg, here in Johannesburg. Then hand sanitizers and stuff were being used already, and people were saying, okay, let's greet like this. But then on the 16th of March, suddenly live shows were canceled. So it all... within 24, 48 hours, it changed very dramatically. And I think that's why this whole thing is such a trauma, because it's like if you lose someone in a car accident, it's instant. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like...
there's no warning.
It's not like, let's say, if I can compare it to loss of life in a family, it's not like something that you know this person is in the hospital for long and you kind of can prepare yourself. It's more like a boom, the previous day the person was there and now they're not. That is kind of like COVID-19. It was almost like losing someone in a very sudden, tragic way. It's like you didn't have time to prepare for it, you know what I mean? Anyway, so actually in that week, that building up to the last few shows, and in the week that shows got cancelled, I flew to Cape Town still with the intention of doing shows under 100 people. And then on the flight, maybe it was the altitude, I don't know, I was like, oh my word, what am I doing? If even one person gets corona from coming to my show, because I was like, well, technically, you know, we're under 100 people, so I'm going to do it. Woo, here we go. I would never forgive myself. Then that week, I was just basically self-isolating in Cape Town. I was like, I've got a lack of Airbnb. I'm going to just enjoy this week in Cape Town and have some alone time. Then I started posting a few videos here and there, because I was alone in a flat for a whole week, and I was a little bit bored. And it started to get like good traction and stuff. And then when lockdown was announced, I decided, okay, every day of lockdown, I'm going to upload a video. And then Gauteng phoned me, the Gauteng MEC, for it's such a long title. They should really think of shortening it. But it's sport, agriculture, recreation, ballet,
stand-up comedy, tap
dancing, cabaret, and other lacquer things.
Yeah.
And then I said, look, man, this is perfect. I'm going to do it anyway. So if you guys have a campaign that, you know, wants to bring positivity, it was something I wanted to do anyway. The only thing I said is sometimes I say, I won't say it yet, but I said, sometimes I say the F word and I would like to really keep doing that if you don't mind. And they were cool enough to, yes. Yeah. so yeah. And they said that's fine. And I said, okay, cool. Then we have a deal. But so anyway, and then the videos, I started doing it every day. And then I just started seeing this like huge growth in my social media in terms of more likes, more comments. And I started realizing, wow, there's really a need for humor in this time. Yeah. I didn't quite realize it because that's what I do all the time. Humor, yeah. Comedy, it's my job. So, you know, so I'm used to people liking it in general. I mean, there's very few people in the world that don't like comedy and don't like laughing. But then suddenly it was like more than just, oh, we like comedy. It was like now suddenly we need comedy. We need comedy in this time. We need to laugh. Yeah.
What did the MEC say to you? In your first lockdown video, or the first one I saw, I don't know if it was the first one, you said, the province of Gauteng has phoned me and they said, we need a laugh right now. We need humor. What was their sort of basic motivation? Do you know?
Yeah. So they explained to me that basically they just want to sort of lift people's spirits in this time. I think especially when lockdown was announced, especially people with their own businesses, people taking financial knocks, it was a big shock to the system. Mm. And as government, they just wanted to, I guess what I was impressed by is they saw the value in also humor. Because I mean, normally in the arts, comedians always are sucking on the back teat. I don't know if that's a phrase, but we are, you know. Like I remember when I studied acting, I started doing comedy when I was already a drama student. And I remember the other drama students would always sort of look down on stand-up comedy, you know. Yeah, stand-up comedy always this sort of like, we like, for some reason, seen as like the rejects or the...
Yeah, I remember seeing at the, I think it was the Oscars a couple of years back, a song by Will Ferrell talking about when a comedian would, or when a comic actor would win, basically saying it was an impossibility that they'd ever win a Best Actor award because nobody...
Exactly.
Nobody takes it that seriously.
And especially stand-up comics. I mean, because we drink on stage, you know, like stand-up comedy is one of the only things, except for like music, rock and roll, where... You know, you're on stage with your beer or your glass of wine at comedy clubs. Comedians go on stage with their drinks. It's such a taboo, you know, to, if you're in a theater production, in a play, to, you know, have a drink before the show for the nerves. In stand-up, it's almost weird if you don't, you know.
Yeah.
So, I guess it was, I was very impressed that the government saw the necessity and the value in humor as a way of dealing with this lockdown.
Well, I'm just impressed, even one level before that, I'm impressed that they've taken a perspective on it that deals with the psychological and the psyche of it. Because in my early research before we started the series, I remember reading an article published by someone in the States saying that when China officially came out of their lockdown, whenever that was, I don't even know if they're properly out of lockdown, but when they eased off the first time, the divorce rate literally just spiked after however many weeks in lockdown. And they had as their recommendation that governments around the world include a mental health approach in their public health response to COVID-19. So they were saying, listen, we have felt the effects of this psychologically.
you guys, when it hits you, you better have something in place. And I haven't seen that. I mean, I haven't, it's not like I'm trawling the internet every day trying to find out what governments are doing, but I haven't seen any kind of state-sponsored or government-sponsored endeavor or initiative to try and address and deal with some of the psychological fallout until I heard about this thing from the Gauteng province, which, so I'm just like super pumped. I'm so proud of my president. I'm so proud of my country. I mean, I'm Western Cape, so it's not my MEC, but I'm just so impressed and proud that they would do that. It seems quite forward thinking.
Yeah, I think also because I think a big fear also seeing as we in a developing country, the other day on one of my videos, I said a third world country, and some people commented and said, please don't say third world, Skulk. Don't say third world. That is an insult to us. It's developing. We're developing. So I'm sorry about saying third world.
Not at the moment. We're contracting. Our economy is contracting. We're regressing.
Yeah. So I think there was also maybe from government side a bit of a fear just out of lack of maybe knowledge on the subject that people weren't going to take lockdown so seriously because they just didn't maybe understand the effects. And I think the value of adding humor to the situation is that if people are feeling like they're being entertained in lockdown and feeling happier or as happy as they can be with the situation, it also prevents you from breaking the rules. You know, I think only once you reach a stage where you're really hot full of lockdown, and then you start going, oh, you know what? I'm going to go bribe my neighbor. It's not going to hurt anyone. We're not going to hug. It's fine. But the thing is, I said in one of my videos the other day, it might not give anyone corona, but if everyone now starts like go visiting their neighbor or visiting someone down the street, because that's what it becomes. It becomes this week, I'm just going next door to my neighbor. Next week, you know, I'm going to my friend who lives 2 kilometers away.
Then with six other friends and
Yeah, then eventually it's like I'm going to visit my parents just quickly.
Yeah,
you know, I've been having some of the same struggles. You know, I've had to sort of.
You gotta remind yourself this is still happening almost. Yeah, the novelty of it wears off.
Yeah, we live in a block of flats, you know, so you try and find loopholes in the system. And you go, well, technically, a block of flats, it's like one house, the building. We're just in lockdown in the building, not in my flat, just in the building.
Yeah.
And then you start, you know, I take the dog down to the garden. There's someone else just getting some fresh air. And then before you know it, you standing this far away from each other chatting. And then a few minutes later, you now chatting. Yeah, you know. So then suddenly it's like, okay, whoa, what are we doing? We must okay.
Yeah, stop kissing me. Stop kissing me. Why are you kissing me? It's like that. Dude, what you mentioned earlier that your following has grown quite a bit as a result of this. I would love to know what kind, I know you get a lot of comments on your daily videos and there's a lot of interaction you have between you and your public, your audience. Is there anything that's come to mind for you that people have shared about how your videos each day have been helping them? Anything specific?
Yeah, so the thing I received the most is that because I post the video at the same time every day, because the beginning of lockdown, we got a puppy because my fiance and I, we're never at home and we've wanted to get a dog for so long and we just didn't have the routine or the regular schedule to be able to do that. So when lockdown got announced, I said, let's get a dog now, because especially when it's a puppy, you can't go just drop it at a puppy school or puppy hotel, doggy hotel when it's so young. So let's do it now while we have the opportunity. So I was taking the dog down at 6 every morning to go to the garden, and then I'd record my video and upload it by like 8 a.m. And the comments I saw the most was people saying, I like waking up to the video and I like watching the video with my morning coffee. So that's like what you were saying earlier. It's like starting your day with some humor, starting your day with some comedy, really then sets the mood for the day. You know, after the video, it's like, if you did enjoy it, I'm also not so arrogant to think that everyone enjoys the video. Some people don't find it funny, and you have commented that, and I appreciate your feedback. But, you know, it's like, okay, I've started my day with some comedy, whether it's my video or you're just watching some comedy, so another comedian speaking. Then it's like, okay, now I feel ready to take on this day. Feel ready to, and then somehow it doesn't make you so mulled to be in your house the whole day. So yeah, that's why I've even though the mornings that my fiance has said, listen, I'll take the dog down tomorrow morning so you can sleep in a bit, I still only sleep till like 7 because I set my alarm and I want to still upload that video before 8 because I've started realizing that's when people like to watch it because it's a lacquer way for them to start the day.
Start it off on a good note. It's like what I was saying in the previous episode around habits, that in a moment like this, what happens is your old routines get thrown out the window and there's so much that's outside of your control. And what this Susan David, what she was recommending was that we focus on what we can control and we try to create routines and habits that are going to be able to give us structure to the day, like this, like watching your video first thing in the morning.
Exactly. So as humans, we crave routine because that gives us a sense of normality. That's why people love breakfast radio, because you get used to the routine of in every morning, I sit in traffic, I listen to Martin Bester's voice on Jacaranda, I hear Anele's voice on Highveld, or whoever, you know. And that's why often I, when I do radio interviews and I sit there and people call in, you know, call Martin, they go, Martin, I can't start my morning without Jacka breakfast. Thank you very much. And yes, the radio team they listen to, or in the Western Cape, it would be Wackhead, you know,
yeah,
Darren.
Wackhead, yeah.
So yes, the breakfast team is good, but people, it eventually that becomes your daily routine. So now suddenly if there's a morning that you're not hearing Darren's voice, then suddenly it's like, ooh, my day feels weird. It's starting.
Something's off, yeah.
That sense of like that routine has given people a sense of normality. And I mean, the government is only, the MEC only, you know, sort of said, okay, 21 days, and then lockdown got extended. But then I decided to carry on with the videos because, yeah, imagine now like you drinking your coffee. I didn't want people to have their morning coffee, watch my video, and then after 21 days, the lockdown is continuing, but then suddenly that element is gone.
Yeah.
Also, a thing I wanted to say was, it's also given me a sense of normality.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
It's not like some, I don't see it as like some schlep or as work. I enjoy as a comedian, like comedy is my passion. So to be able to wake up every morning, I have to generate content and be able to record it and share it. Yes, the laughs is not like a live stand-up gig now where you get the laughs instantly. But once the comments start rolling in and the likes start building up, that becomes the new laughs.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Now it's not delivering the punchline and getting a ha ha ha. Now it's the laughs are just now coming, saying, and it's like slightly delayed, but it's still pretty instant. You know, 5 minutes after you've uploaded the video, there's likes, there's comments saying,
yeah,
thank you, we enjoyed it. So, it's also given me a way to not go crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. How cool. How cool that part of the service you're giving to others is actually helping you a little bit with some structure. When I checked your account a couple of days back, I think you were on, like literally 3 days ago, you were on 95,000 followers. Now you're on 98 or something, I think. Maybe I'm checking you more than you. But it seems like everything you're doing is really striking a chord. So thanks so much for that. We pretty much have gone longer than I promised you we would go, and longer than I promised my viewers will go. But is there any last comments you'd like to make around your approach or your philosophy to humor? Anything we haven't covered? No pressure if there isn't. Just want to give you one last chance.
Yeah. I wanted to say this the other day in one of my videos, but I thought it wasn't sort of lighthearted enough. It was going a bit more into the psychology of humor. And I think this is a much better platform to be discussing.
Well,
this.
Go for
because
it.
I saw a comment, you know, that was like, actually, Skulk, it's not all a joke. You know, it's not all a flippant joke. It's quite serious. There's people losing their jobs. There's people losing their lives. And what I want to share with people watching this is that you must remember now, making jokes in a situation or out of a situation and generating humor from that and comedy, it's not making light of a situation necessarily. It is finding a way to deal with the situation. So an example is, if you think about, if we're talking about trauma, okay, so you were saying yourself that COVID-19 for everyone is a type of trauma, right? And it does have a psychological and emotional effect. So one of the biggest traumas of South Africa, if not the biggest, is apartheid, right? Now, every single South African comedian, I almost want to say every single, if not, it's like a small percentage, has material about apartheid. Are we making light of apartheid? Are we saying apartheid was not so bad? No, of course not. We are acknowledging the seriousness of it and the trauma, and it being also a time where the majority of the country didn't have basic human rights. Also, a lot of people died. But it is a way of dealing with and talking about a subject and dealing with that trauma. If you take Zapiro, a lot of times his cartoons, it's about very serious subject matter. It's about corruption, it's about murder or whatever, but it is helping us consume a trauma in a humoristic way. So, you know, I don't want people to think that you should feel bad if you're laughing at jokes surrounding the lockdown or surrounding COVID-19. It's not making light of the situation. It's not saying, ah, this thing is stupid. It's not making light of people who are losing their jobs, who've lost their lives. It's dealing with something and also talking about something. Humor makes discussion a lot easier because it makes people be able to like just take a breath, you know, and makes talking about things easier. That's my little two cents about humor, because I think people are so quick to think once the comedy exists about something, it's making fun, laughing at the thing, not using laughter to deal with a thing.
There's a whole field in medical research. I don't know too much about it, but I came across it in my research for this, around how we can use humor to deal with the fear and anxiety that comes with other illness. So for instance, I mentioned Patch Adams as an example of that, but with cancer patients and cancer treatment, it's not necessarily, although some may argue that the laughter actually helps, you know, in the healing. But the point being that there's a catharsis there. The laughter helps to ease all the psychological dynamics that come from cancer. So it's a well-established sort of reality in the medical sphere. You're bringing that same thing, a perspective like that, but just in this national or social moment that we're having. So yeah, I think I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I just want to thank you again for this interview, but B, for everything you're doing. I think everything that you are contributing to this moment is having an impact, and we can see it from how your following is growing. So Skalk, how can the viewers from this series, how can they get in touch with some of your work and what you're doing? How can they follow you? What are your handles, etc.?
Well, today's day 26 of lockdown, so there's still, if my maths are correct, like 9 lockdown videos that I'll be uploading. If you want to see some of the previous ones, just go onto my Facebook page, Skalk the Side Note, or my Instagram page at Skalky Bears, and just scroll down. You'll see it. You can't miss it. I've got a live online show tomorrow because it's my birthday, and usually I do my live online shows on a Friday night, but I wanted to spend my birthday this way. It's unfortunately sold out already. Our capacity is not huge because if we prop too many people into the webinar room, the whole thing can crash. But after this, I hope to, we'll see how the lockdown develops, if it gets extended, if it doesn't get extended, what the rules are. I mean, myself and all other performers are obviously hoping to hit the live stage as soon as possible. And I'm speaking for everyone when I say that please come to the shows when we start doing live shows again. Go support your local talent wherever you are. Every single province has shows happening. Every single dorpi, every single city. A lot of us performers like are really struggling at the moment because the live shows are obviously our bread and butter. So go watch a show. Just check your favorite comedian, musician, whatever, check their social media. They'll definitely be advertising their live shows again as soon as things go back to normal, which is hopefully very soon.
Hopefully soon. Well, Skulk, thanks so much for being with us today. Thank you for everything you're doing. Okay. Thank you for taking the moment to share with us. I'm sure the viewers have appreciated your time and your perspective, and I'm sure that they're going to go and check out your feed.
Cool, donkey.
Okay, so if you are interested, please go and follow Skulk and see some of the stuff he's doing and watch his videos. I'm sure they will lighten your mood while not trying to make light of the situation, as he was sharing. As I mentioned at the beginning, just a reminder that Migro has made available a free subscription to the online platform for the duration of this lockdown. And yeah, you can go to migro.me to sign up for that. A whole lot of the resources we've made available throughout this webinar series are there, as well as your daily experience of developing some of these muscles. I will see you in the next webinar. See you, bye.